Now looking for a two-out hit. Pass ball into left field. The Kansas City Royals are walking off into the ALDS. Next stop, Baltimore. The Royals will play in the American League Championship Series. Router to third, fair ball. Moustakas across. And 29 years of frustration have ended. The Royals are going to the World Series.
Listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And download every episode and more at basicallyasportsshow.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike.
And you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
What's the deal with Thor being a woman now? How'd that happen?
It's not that Thor is a woman, it's a woman is Thor.
I see. So Thor is
because
a...
Because the way Thor works in the comic books,
right,
is he's some random dude. Who, you know, was able to summon the powers of Mjolnir. And when he does, he becomes Thor.
I see.
So when the woman grabs the hammer, she just becomes Man-Thor.
I get you. Okay. Because Thor was always the blonde-haired dude when I was a kid, and then in the
right.
movies, too.
Yeah, he's still Thor. They just changed it to actual real-life Thor in the movies a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
they took out the part where he's just some dude because that confused too many people.
Yeah.
So Peter Parker is Thor? No, that's...
No, Peter Parker is a horrible Thor.
Yeah, no, in the comics, in the original comics, basically it was some guy is on a trip to Norway and he randomly finds this ancient Viking hammer.
Right.
And he just summons the power of the Norse god and assumes the power of Thor.
Yeah, he just stumbles upon Mjolnir like it's no
yeah.
big deal.
It's just like in this cave.
Cool.
Just lying out in the open. No one found this.
It was just sitting there where anybody could have walked past and got it. And he just happened to be the guy that did it, right?
Yeah. And it's maybe a university would to have. No, okay. they're just going to be a superhero.
Anybody could have got bit by a spider. It just happened to be Peter Parker.
Yeah, but here's my question. Why hasn't it happened more often?
In the latest Spider-Man movie, they explained why it happened.
Because
why it was Peter Parker specifically.
I have not seen the new Spider-Mans, the reboots.
It's not that good.
It's fine. It's my main problem with when they made them is that, we were 10 years out from the first one.
Well, hold your hats. As we talked about on Bags, they're thinking about rebooting it again.
Oh, you're kidding.
Serious?
No, not at all.
Because I know their side projects have kind of stalled a little bit.
Well, their plans now, Venom is completely off the table. That's not happening.
Well, good.
That sucks.
And then, but they're still going to do the Sinister Six movie, but the plan now...
They put so much effort into it in the second movie, so they have to.
But the plan now is to use Sinister Six to reboot Spider-Man again. They're going to cast a different actor in it.
Oh, for God's sakes.
And, yeah.
I thought the first one, the original one with, what's his name, Tobey Maguire? I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
It hasn't aged well.
I haven't seen it since, so maybe it hasn't aged well. The
first one's fine. The second one was really good, I thought, and the third one they just tried to do too much.
Yeah,
well, that was the problem with the last Amazing Spider-Man one, the most recent one, where they tried to do too much. Like if you think about it, the Green Goblin should be the villain of that movie, but he only shows up for the last 15 minutes, and for the most of the movie, we just have emo Jamie Foxx. And it's just really
Peter
bad.
Peter Parker.
Yeah.
That's by the way, that turn is always too quick for me. Oh, I worship you, Spider-Man. He remembered my name. I hate you, Spider-Man.
Why? Yeah. No.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Because he didn't remember you? He's Spider-Man. He sees thousands of people every day.
Yeah, that was, like, honestly, Electro just shouldn't have been in that movie. It just should have just, they should have just had the Green Goblin.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could have Electro, you just don't do the Green Goblin. You got to pick one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I always thought, too, I haven't seen the new ones, but the first three, I never thought that they caught, that they really captured the, kind of the, I don't know, the smart-ass aspect of Spider-Man.
The new ones do a good job at that.
Yeah, that's the one thing I'll give him credit for, is he's spunkier.
Okay, because in the other one, he was kind of, it just didn't.
I'd also say that Andrew Garfield is probably a better Peter Parker than Tobey Maguire.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
Like the casting in the new ones is really good.
Who plays Mary Jane in the new ones?
Mary Jane hasn't shown up yet.
Yeah. Ah, okay.
They did it the original way, where Gwen Stacy is the first girlfriend.
All right.
Which is the other thing that kind of dragged down the first set of movies, was the will they, won't they, Peter Parker, Mary Jane thing.
Yeah.
And then Gwen Stacy was just there to exist for, like, a second.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, this is a name from the comic book, so we're going to use her as a throwaway girlfriend. Like, all right.
What Marvel needs to do is they need to figure out a way to do a good Fantastic Four movie.
Well, that's Fox. Fox
has those rights, and they haven't figured that one out yet.
They haven't even come close.
Which is strange, because they figured out X-Men. The last two X-Men movies have been really good.
Well, the last two, X3 was...
X3 and Wolverine Origins were abysmal, but...
Are you talking, when you say the last two, Mike, are you talking from the X-Men thing, or like the X-Men Days of Future Past and X-Men First Class?
Those two, yes.
Because I haven't seen, was it Days of Future Past yet, but I thought X-Men First Class was pretty darn good.
First Class is excellent. Days of Futures Past is really good, especially when you consider that, like, if you just looked at the comic book story, Days of Futures Past, that is overly complicated and convoluted, and they managed to turn it into a really tight, fun movie. So,
and they're working on Apocalypse right now, right?
Yeah, and truth be told, I'm actually more excited about Age of Apocalypse, which is a Fox movie, than I am about Ant-Man, which is a Marvel movie, because
Ant-Man's not going to... It's not going to do anything.
Because Ant-Man right now is shaping up to be a movie where a tiny Paul Rudd rides an ant around New York City for like 2.5 hours and maybe cracks some jokes.
Speaking of Paul Rudd, if we transition into sports.
Oh?
Well, comic book stuff was fun, but I suppose we can do sports. I just want to say before we go any further that before we started tonight,
yes,
I watched Led Zeppelin doing Kashmir live from their 2007 reunion show. It's a religious experience. It's as simple as that.
I hadn't seen it until Greg linked me, and he's right.
There's a local classic rock station here, 95.5 KLOS.
Oh, I've heard of KLOS.
5 o'clock every single day, Kashmir.
Good.
5 o'clock in the afternoon, Kashmir, every time.
I just put this on Facebook. I'm going to state it here for the entire world to hear. In the history of rock music, there has never been, nor will there ever be, a band as great as Led Zeppelin was in the 9 minutes they were playing Kashmir in that concert. It just cannot be.
There's only one that comes close.
Okay.
Queen during Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, shit. I forget. Queen was just killer live. My God, they were good. They were probably the best live band
killer
ever.
Killer Queen.
Yeah, something like that. But seriously, go back and watch Queen at Montreal, or Queen Rocks Montreal, or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. Jesus, were those... for the kind of music they played, it was kind of complex and stuff. They were just... now, granted, Zeppelin in that 9 minutes with Kashmir, no one will ever touch it. But after that, you can talk about all the other bands. Queen is the best live band ever, period. And it's just not even a debate, if you ask me. Just unbelievable. They were just incredible. And then Live Aid, man, forget it. But anyway, I digress.
Before we were derailed from my brilliant transition from Paul Rudd as Ant-Man to Paul Rudd, a Kansas City Royals fan.
Yeah.
Is he now?
Yeah, well, he got to be on the field after the Kansas City Royals won the American League pennant.
We haven't done a
change. You know who else is a Kansas City Royals fan? And this ties back into the comic book stuff. Superman.
And I was just going to say, the fact that we're talking about the Royals as American League champions, we have not left the world of fantasy and comic book heroes at all. We're right where we were. There was no transition there.
Paul Rudd was interviewed on the field after the game because he just happened to be there. He's a huge Royals fan. He grew up in Kansas City. There's actually a lot of comedians that are Royals fans. Jason Sudeikis, Rob Riggle,
I suppose if you're a comedian, the Royals for the past 29 years have been pretty funny.
Yeah,
good father. But he invited everyone over to his mom's house for a kegger.
cool.
Because the local news guy was like, hey, so where are you going to celebrate if anybody wants to join you? He's like, I'm going to be at my mom's house. But yeah, we live in a world where the Kansas City Royals set a record with 8 wins to open up a playoff year.
Unbelievable.
11 consecutive if we want to go back to 1985.
Right.
That's something else I wanted to touch on just a second. Zach, you and I have not lived in a world where the Royals have been good until this year.
Yeah. It was myth. It was a world of like days of year, stories of days gone by.
Days of yore.
Yeah. You know, back the Royals being good was about as it's like that. That's like Tolkien. Like that's like fantasy. Like in days long past.
Like I always remember when I was growing up as a kid, and they would show. They would talk about the Royals and the Royals and the Yankees and their clashes in the 80s. I'm like, the hell?
Yeah.
That's not possible. No, the Royals are year in, year out terrible.
The Royals and Yankees, not only was it that they play each other a lot back then, but they hated each other. I mean,
right.
they didn't. It wasn't
the George Brett Pintar game a Yankee game?
Yep. That was a night. Yeah, it was Billy Martin. But they hated each other. I mean, it wasn't like fake sports hate. Those teams truly did not like each other at all. I'm surprised there weren't more fights in those series. But, yeah, that's I thought about that when they won the other night. I thought, now Mike and Zach live in the same world I do where the Royals are good. It's like you guys joined a club or something. I don't know.
It's just like the Pirates last year.
Right.
You know, that was another thing that I thought was myth. I mean, they had made the playoffs in my lifetime back in, 93.
Mm. No one remembers.
Right. I remember when I was growing up was when, Barry Bonds was getting to his peak and stuff like that. It's like, oh, yeah, no, he was even a Hall of Fame caliber player when he played with the Pirates. And I'm like, what? No.
Nobody's good on the Pirates.
This is not true.
But you see, the difference between the Pirates and the Royals is that the Pirates have kind of bounced up and down when they were good. Like, they would win a World Series and they'd go away for a while, come back, win another one. And that type of thing. The Royals were consistently excellent for a very long time. Just, I'm trying to think of a team you could compare them to today. Maybe the Red Wings, I suppose. I don't know.
See, that's another thing. If the Red Wings miss the playoffs this year, that'll be another thing that Zach and I will have to deal with. Adjusting to
23 years, yeah.
Adjusting to life where the Red Wings aren't on a playoff.
Right. I mean, hell, in the entire existence of the Ducks / Mighty Ducks. The Red Wings have been in the playoffs every year. The Mighty Ducks have been a franchise,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is insane. I think it's the same for San Jose. When was the last time? Was it 91? So I guess that would be the Sharks, the Lightning, and the Senators
mm-hmm.
too, and the Panthers and
Blue Jackets, obviously.
Blue Jackets, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they would have missed it last year if things hadn't gone extremely favorable.
Well, if they didn't have a blood pact with the NHL to move to the Eastern Conference, they would have, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that team never makes it in the West last year, I don't think.
No.
They barely made it in the East, actually.
Right.
So.
And it wasn't like the East was a powerhouse last year.
But
the Kansas City Royals, just to kind of wrap it up, you guys, you talk about you don't remember the Royals ever being, or never lived in a world where the Royals were good. I've also lived in a world where the Red Wings were terrible. They were the Florida Panthers of the NHL for a while. So,
I mean, just
you get old and things just start coming around in cycles, man. It's just
watching all the videos that have been posted of like the final out, and somebody took a video from the parking lot at Kauffman Stadium.
Yeah,
where you just see the stadium and you just kind of hear this like low roar, like, oh my god, oh, it's close, oh, we're one out away, and then you hear the kind of, oh, it's a grounder to the third, he's throwing it, and then you just hear everyone kind of,
It's absolutely amazing because, okay, the Royals obviously won the hearts and minds of everyone, and due to the AL East rivalry, I really couldn't throw my support behind the Baltimore Orioles. So watching the Royals, just some of the most inspired baseball I've seen.
Yeah. And they're doing it the hard way too. And
it's small ball.
They're doing it in the absolute face of the whole sabermetrics movement, and it's beautiful. I love it. You can't explain these guys. But my brother has been a Royals fan since he was a young kid. And when they won yesterday, I got a text. I texted him, I said, the last time this happened you were 13 years old. And he texts me back and he goes, my niece Emily, she's 3 years old. He goes, I just yelled at Emmy. He said, I've waited 29 years for this. You can wait 2 minutes for apple juice. And it just cracked me up.
It's just it's really good. You know, this is one of the better results of a championship series that I can remember in recent years.
And again, you know, we talked about it before, but just mere images of the two AL NL series, and NL same old AL, two teams who hadn't been there in a while, and it ends with this emotional, just cavalcade. And see, it was really awesome to see, but I'm worried now because I'm worried that the Giants or the Cardinals, whoever comes out of that series, is going to come in and just roll
over.
You
know what I hope?
Kansas City.
I hope. I actually hope the. I don't know what the score is right now.
2-1 Giants.
What inning?
I think it was like the third, maybe. I haven't really been paying that close of attention.
I hope the Giants win tonight,
mm-hmm.
so that both the Royals and the Giants would be playing with basically the same amount of rest.
I agree.
I hope that it's not something that gets stretched out to seven games and the Cardinals, you know, end up winning it or something. And then they come in and just crush all of Kansas City's dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want this to be a 2007 Rockies, you know?
Yeah, I don't think this team feels like the Rockies, though. The Rockies, you kind of knew, even when they were doing it, that would like they're not this good. I'm not saying that the Royals...
But are the Royals this good?
Well, you know, you look back, and I don't know if they had the best record in the American League after the All-Star break, but they had one of the best records in the American League after the All-Star break.
They did have a great second half of the season, and just watching them play, I don't know. I don't get the feeling that when I watch this team play, I don't get the feeling that they're playing above their ability.
Right.
I get the feeling that it's just really inspired baseball. And again, it goes in the face of that sabermetrics thing because I can't quantify it. I can't tell you exactly what is making them as good as they are. It's just destiny is the best way to describe it.
It's kind of one of those things where they've gotten on a roll. Honestly, it kind of reminds me, not obviously in the same like talent level or anything, but kind of like the role the Red Sox got on in 2004 when they were down 3-1, where they just got on this roll and you just thought, you know what? These guys, they believe they can do this, and there's something to be said for that, sabermetrics or not, where a team just starts going, you know what? We might be down, but something's going to happen. We're going to get the break we need. We're going to win this game. And that's kind of what the Royals have done here. But, I was amazed that they got in the playoffs. Then I was amazed that they beat the who'd they play in the first round? They beat Oakland. And then when they swept the Angels, I was like, something's going on here. You know, this is more than just one of those fluke things. And I don't know. I think that they can certainly beat either the Cardinals or the Giants. And I don't know.
The Cardinals have – their bread and butter has been crushing out inspiration in baseball wherever it exists.
Yeah, but their voodoo magic shit's not working now. They're down, what, 3-1 now? And they could get eliminated tonight. I just don't think they've got enough left.
Well, yeah.
I think the shamans run out of magic, Mike.
I don't know. The shaman might conjure up a meteor that just, like, destroys the entire St. Louis Rams team and sacrifices all of that
We got to start paying closer attention to the Blues at this point. If something awful happens to them, like if Alex Steen or somebody goes out with a year-long injury, then we're going to know what's going to happen. But anyway, what were you going to say, Zach?
Well, what I was going to say is somebody posted a comparison between this series and the last time these two played, 2012, where the Giants were the 3 seed, the Cardinals were the 5, and it went the same exact way. The Cardinals were up 3-1, and the Giants came back and won it in 7.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's not the same thing.
I don't think this Cardinals team, I just don't think they got enough. I mean, this Giants team is a pretty good team.
Yeah, and they've still got Madison Bumgarner pitching, right?
Right, and my thing with this whole playoffs is, like, the best teams are sitting home watching right now.
Yeah, and this is something that's brought up a lot of discussion, at least on our message boards, so it's something I think we could delve into. Does it matter in baseball that the best teams aren't winning the World Series anymore?
Does it matter in football? Or basketball? I mean, basketball is the only sport really where you're almost guaranteed the best team's going to win.
How do you quantify best team? Because my argument would be that if the best team, you know, once the playoffs start, every team has the same chance. Every team is on equal footing. And if you truly are the best team, then you should be able to win the World Series because at the start of the playoffs you are in the exact same situation as everyone else. It's a level playing field of the rest of the playoff teams, and you should be able to rise to the World Series if you are truly the best team.
I agree with that to a point, Mike. But
baseball is inherently random, though.
That's what I was just going to say, too. I mean, I agree with what Mike says, but there is a thing where the Astros can beat anybody on a given day.
There's a reason that baseball plays 162 games in the first place. Somebody put up the comparison where baseball plays 162 games for a full season, and then when you get to the playoffs, you just have to win, what is it, 8 games? No, 12.
12.
11 or 12?
12. Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
11, because it would be 3, 4,
yeah,
and 4.
If you're not
yeah,
including the wild card, it's 11.
Right, right.
Whereas with NBA, NHL, it's 82 games, and then the playoffs are roughly going to be about a 20-game season after that.
Yeah.
And so that's like a quarter of the season compared to what, like a
not
a
even
tenth?
Not even a tenth. Actually. Yeah.
But again, like there's no solution to that problem. You can't artificially stretch the Major League Baseball playoffs out to the point where it becomes that it would become unwatchable.
That's the issue.
I don't think it's an issue though, because here's the thing. First off, and I think we talked about this either it might have been off the air or on the air. I don't remember, but I said that if you want to really solve the quote unquote small sample size problem with the playoffs, make each series 21 games long. Then the best team will rise to the top. But who's going to watch 60 games? Yeah, you can't.
Right.
And the other, I understand that. And the other solutions that I've heard, and you know, again, like I've heard people, both on the boards and elsewhere, say things like, it's like, oh, back in the day, you had to win something to get a chance at the World Series. And it's like, look, you want to go back to the days where it's single table, where you just have an AL champ and an NL champ, and those two play for the World Series? Because guess what? That's not viable in this day and age.
But what I think with baseball, at the very least, to eliminate that sort of randomness, is you don't go back to the single table, but you go back to where it was just two division winners and they play the championship series.
But you've got three divisions.
Where? You just have to put them back into two.
I guess if you're really that concerned about the quote unquote best team winning, then yeah. But
because
you're not in it to be the best team. You're in it to win championships, and I think that's the distinction you got to make here.
Difference. Like you look at the Angels, best team in baseball in the regular season.
Right.
Gone in three games.
Well.
Where even like with say hockey. When even like you look at the Kings last year and they were actually like a sixth seed if you put them like normally, they still grinded it out and grueled through what was ultimately I think 28 games.
Well, who won the President's Trophy last year?
Boston.
And yeah. Who was in the finals last year? LA and
New York.
And New York.
Boston lost in the second round.
Right. I understand the argument, but I think, too, that without even looking, if I went back and looked at the people complaining about this, a lot of them are going to be from the sabermetrics crowd because the quote-unquote small samples, and they don't like this and that. Look, the 1969 Mets came out of nowhere and won the World Series. The 79 Pirates were down 3-1 and came back to beat a superior Baltimore team. It happens. It's happened forever.
I mean,
right,
okay.
But what was the structure of the playoffs back then?
It was two division winners against each other and then a championship series.
And that's fine because you have good team versus, you know, decently good team. Maybe the records are different, but they still won something. Whereas the Royals they're still a regular wild card team. So
the problem with all of this is in the NHL, it's almost become a running joke that you don't want to win the President's Trophy because that almost never guarantees a Stanley. In fact, it's almost a curse. You're going to go up in the first or second round. Nobody seems to have a problem with that. But in baseball, you know, we get the possibility of a Giants-Royals World Series, and suddenly people start freaking out. And I just don't I don't understand it.
I think it's just – it's history. Because with – you've had larger playoff fields in hockey forever.
Well, there's a reason why, though, that in baseball – they left the system that you're advocating for because it proved to be toxic to the marketplace after a given time. The reason why they're expanding the playoffs is because 162 games is a long time, And if you have an extremely limited playoff field, then the vast majority of the league, they know they're going to be out of it midway through. And you've got to give those fans a reason to continue paying to support their team.
Exactly.
We don't have to do anything, Mike.
But he makes a good point, though, because if you look at these divisions this year, let's go back to the old AL West, AL East. There's no race there. The Angels are up by, what, 10 games, and the Orioles are up by 10 or 12. In National League East, the Nationals are running away with it. In the West, I think it would have been tight, but that would have been the only race. And you've got Kansas City, you've got Pittsburgh, you've got Cincinnati was still in it towards the end there. You've got all these teams that are, from August on, they're watching exhibition games, and why bother? I mean, yeah, I understand the argument because the quote unquote best team didn't win, but if you want it back the old way, you're gonna have to cut it back down to 18 teams or whatever, because it would never survive with the 30 teams it has at this point, or 28.
Honestly, looking at it now, I think it's mostly just because of how the Royals have sliced through everything. And I mean, the Angels were the best team; they were gone in three games. Like if that series had gone to five games instead, probably not a big discussion about it.
Well,
if it had gone to five games and the Royals had won, then it's like, well, the Angels won their one of their fair share of games, and the Royals did too, and the Royals came out on top. It's not a case where, well, the Angels were just super cold and the Royals sliced through them.
But at the same time, the fact that they did slice through them, it says to me that I don't understand where this outrage is coming from. Greg's right. Baseball is the type of sport where the Houston Astros can beat anyone on any given day. But the Royals, to get to where they all are now, had to do more than just win that one game against Oakland. They had to win three straight against the best team in baseball. Not an easy task, but they did it. And then they had to...
Ace made it pretty easy for them.
And then they had... And then they won four straight.
Against the second best team in the
American
League.
Against the second best team in baseball. So, you could chalk up that one game against Oakland to like, they got in on luck. And, it's baseball. Any given day, they won that one game. But since that playoff game, since that wild card game, they've proven that it's not just a fluke. And it's a sabermetrics thing. They're trying to bring order to something that is inherently chaotic.
Right. And no one has a problem at all with the NCAA basketball tournament when the 15 seed knocks off a number two. That's not fair. That's not fair. Yeah.
Well, that's one game series, and that's why they do that.
Look, this isn't some sort of solemn thing where we have to make sure everything's exactly right. It's supposed to be fun. And anybody that's not enjoying this run of the Royals in the playoffs, they just don't have a heart, unless you're an Angels fan, and that I understand, or an Orioles fan. But anybody else, come on.
Here's the thing, too, with that. I really want the Royals to win the World Series for the fun of it, but also because if the Royals just continue to buzzsaw through everything, then at the end of it, you just throw your hands up and say, you can't stop destiny.
Right.
So as an Angels fan, it would be a little bit easier to take if they just were so dominant all the way through. Where it's like, if they were any other team, we could have beat them and maybe we'd be playing in the World Series. But can't stop destiny.
Well, I think they've proven their point now. I mean, when they swept the Orioles, something's going on here with these guys. It could simply be a case of, again, I'm going to throw out words that the sabermetricians don't like, but the chemistry just came together at the right time. I mean, they became a great baseball team, boom, just like that. Like the Cowboys did in football this year, but nobody's more about baseball tradition and history than I am, but I love this. And I mean, I didn't think I would when they first started it. I'm like, oh my God, we're going to have a team like the Royals who are going to get in on the last day of the season and knock off somebody they don't deserve to knock off. But the truth of the matter is, baseball needs this, because before the playoff, before the wild card playoff and all that, this sport was dying a slow, painful to watch death. I understand the argument the best team didn't win, but if you're going to hold baseball to that, you got to hold every other sport to that. It's just not fair.
The other thing that I hate when it comes out of these debates is the argument is if they were the better team, they would have won.
Not necessarily.
Not true.
Yeah.
Right. I hate that. Because it's not true. Because you see the way they're playing, and the Royals were hot. And you look over the course of 162 games, and the Angels proved that they were the better team in the long term.
Right.
They just decided the worst time of the year to play awful, and the Royals found the best time of the year to play great. They lock horns and
but then again we see that in hockey all the time. How many teams make impressive cup runs out of nowhere because a goalie got hot at the right time?
I think the difference, though, you know just as well as I do, Mike, that playoff hockey is inherently different than regular season.
So it is playoff baseball. It is.
But do they officiate differently in the playoffs for baseball than they do?
No, they don't do that. But I just want to throw this in too with the whole best team in, you know, versus hot team. There's a couple things that you got to consider here too. Baseball does not play a balanced schedule. And I'm not taking this thing away from our Angels, but they had, I think, how many shots at the Astros this year that the Royals didn't get?
Astros were better.
But look at the division. So the Angels got to play the Rangers and the Astros for a good bulk of their schedule. The Royals did not have that luxury.
But the Angels did beat the A's and the Mariners, who were right there the whole year too.
I know, but
how many, on the flip side, how many times did the Royals play the Twins?
I don't know. I don't know how the schedule works anymore.
Or the White Sox.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, but you know, every day, if you had a completely balanced schedule, this argument would be easier to make. But it's not.
And that's why, like, the single table idea that they do in, like, say, English soccer. In English soccer, there's 38 games, 38 matches.
Yeah, but
and there's 20 teams in the league, so you play every team 19 times, home and away. So 38 games.
Wow.
So it's completely even. There's no difference in anybody's schedules. So at the end of the year, you could say, yeah, well, sure, they were the best team, no need for a playoff. That's why there are playoffs in American sports, because we've made our schedules unbalanced, and that's the only way to determine it.
Not only that, but if you took every one of our big four sports over here and made it a single table deal, even the NFL would probably lose popularity. And of all the sports, the sport that needs this the most is baseball. Because you've got these insufferable 4-hour games that are 2-1 and all this other stuff. I love baseball, and it is so fucking boring to watch. I can't hardly stand it anymore. And even in the playoffs, I'm not sitting here watching it, engaged in it like I would be a football game or a hockey game. I'm just kind of keeping an eye on it because it's just become so slow and just so. So you've got to have some sort of excitement, because without this, I don't know if it survives another 10 years. Just because people like me are going to die off. I mean,
baseball's going to survive, but I think it's, and we've talked about it before, it's probably going the way of hockey, where it becomes a very regionalized niche.
Right. I think it's already reached that point.
Yeah. The local ratings are up over national ratings in just about every market.
But, you know, and one more thing on this too, is that we make the argument every year come NBA playoff time that it's a waste of time to watch, because we know who's going to win. We knew it was going to be Heat Spurs last year before the playoffs even started.
No,
so
NBA could use an infusion of randomness.
Right. It's kind of like careful what you wish for, because we've got exactly that in the NBA.
You have to find the right balance.
Right.
You have to find the right balance of good teams winning. And, like, I heard a discussion about this a while ago. I forget what it was on. I think it was on hockey, where you look over the last several years and you have teams like – well, coming out of the lockout, you had teams like Chicago win. And Detroit and Pittsburgh and Boston, big markets. And in all of these sports, you need to have the big teams win occasionally, but you also need to have the lesser teams win also.
Right.
You have to have the bigger teams win a little bit more, because they're the big teams. You need villains and all that sort of thing. But you couldn't go in a world where there's a new champion every single year, and it's like, If it was the Devil or the Rays and the Royals and, I don't know, the Astros, and you went on this string of, like, all the Marlins, all these kind of in the middle, like, who cares teams winning.
Like the NBA in the 70s?
Or Major League Baseball in the 80s, for that matter. But, yeah, go ahead.
With baseball, you need the Yankees to win every now and then. You need the Red Sox to win every now and then. Cardinals to win every now and then. You can't have too much where they're winning all the time, and you can't have it the other way where they're not winning enough. You know, you have to mix it in.
Right, because I think that's a thing that kind of hurts the NFL a little bit at this point. I mean, we have the perennially good teams, but we don't have the 80s 49ers or the 90s Cowboys or even the early 2000s Patriots. I mean, it's kind of become where – it's whoever rises up at the right time and at the right time of the season goes on to win a Super Bowl. I think we could use a little more, a few more dominant teams that, that you've got to get past. I mean, there was nothing more satisfying back in the day than to beat, like a, being a Browns fan, to beat one of the good teams, like the Cowboys or somebody like that. Whereas now, you know, if they beat the Cowboys, well, it's one of those things, the Cowboys had an off day, the Browns didn't, and here you go.
So you beat the Steelers this week?
Yeah, well, that doesn't mean shit this year.
Kings of the world, the Cleveland Browns!
See, this is why professional wrestling is the best sport, because it can just manufacture it so that
right.
these balances happen.
Right.
Right. Well, and that's what they have to do, and that's why they're good at it, is I'm sure that's something they do, where you every now you can't have John Cena win every time.
Yeah, you know, John Cena wins, but every now and then Daniel Bryan wins, and
sure.
And, you know, it keeps things interesting.
Yeah, the worst thing that happens is the Undertaker gets old. That's really it.
Unfortunately.
WWE without the Phenom is just not worth living in.
End of an era. End of an era.
Well, speaking of the NHL, so we've pretty much had our first week. What do we think so far?
It's fantastic to have hockey back. In Leafs Nation, I can tell you it's been a roller coaster.
They've had a jersey tossing already.
We've had a jersey tossing, but things turned around. Okay, so first game against Montreal ends in a freak,
bounces off somebody's skate.
Bounces off someone's skate, leaves
loose. Happens.
Whatever. Yeah. Game two against Pittsburgh. Sidney Crosby goes beast mode on the Maple Leafs.
Oh, no.
He did that against the Ducks, too. Sidney scored two goals. Yeah.
Leafs lose, I think it was 6-2 to the Penguins.
Yeah.
And then the Toronto media exploded.
With 80 games to go.
Hey, so,
80 games
so
to
look,
go,
look,
but don't even bother playing them.
We're two games in and we're 0-2. It's 0-82, guys. What are we going to do? How long does Randy still have his job?
Fire Randy.
Let's go out to Mississauga. What do you got out there, Jimmy? Well, you know, he's trying his best, but I don't want to fire. It's two games, so but it's two games too long. What it is, Jimmy? Let's go out to London and Mike. What do you got? What do you got to say about the Maple Leafs here? I mean, we're going down in flames.
Oh,
the Calgary Flames. I don't want to
be
that.
It's 0-82. Fire Randy.
Fire Randy. Hashtag Fire Randy. We're taking your calls after this. We're going to a Tim Hortons commercial break. We'll talk to you after some more Timbits.
And it's just, it's amazing. And then, you know, they turn it around with some, you know, impressive victories. They beat the Rangers, and then they beat the Avs. So
we're back here on Leafs Talk. We are now 2-2, a two-game winning streak. Stanley Cup is in our sights. We'll go back out to Mike in London, Ontario. Mike, this team is on fire. We are going cup-bound right now.
This is the team of destiny.
Give Randy Carlyle a five-year
extension.
This is the
year.
Give them all the awards. We are going all the way here. We're going to be back on Leafs Talk. Some more Tim Hortons Timbits. We know you love them. We'll come back after this.
But that's pretty much what it's been.
That's how Toronto works.
That's how Toronto works.
Two
we
game
lose
losing streak,
a game.
Fire
Randy Carlyle. Win a game. The cup is ours.
But hey, I mean, if the playoffs ended today,
a week into the season,
they'd make it.
I know.
You want to see how exciting it is to have the season back? This comes from your neck of the woods, Greg, in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, what stupid shit did they do now?
This man loves his Blue Jackets.
Oh, boy, I guess. Check him out.
Have you seen
Dancing
Kevin
before? I didn't know Rob Ford was a Blue Jackets fan.
Now they're becoming an Ohio team. This is what had to happen, but now they're finally...
You got to get fat guys shirtless pouring beers all over themselves.
Right, because they were a little too cosmopolitan at first, but now we're getting into
a little
the
bit too, you know, refined.
A little too refined, yeah.
Fans had a little bit too much dignity.
Exactly, but now we're right where we need to be.
Now we just need to get the dog pound in there.
Right, exactly. God, I wanted to go to that game. That would have been great to see that guy in person.
Apparently he's there a lot.
Yeah, you will have multiple opportunities.
Well,
yeah.
You know, this is what killed me about the Blue Jackets. I was really surprised by this, but we could buy club seats. Was it a quarter season package, which was they were just dirt cheap for club seats. I'm talking like where you get to sit up above the commoners and, you know, look like you're somebody. Yeah, and I think they were. For an 11-game package, it was about $600 a piece, which I thought was really reasonable.
Yeah.
You know?
So Speaking of,
well, I mean, at least people are going to Blue Jackets games.
Yeah, God,
not like some of our Southern Florida friends.
Oh, I put that on Facebook. I said, this is so sad. I can't even joke about it. It's just so bad. I don't even know what to say.
You know what was even sadder than the attendance?
Oh.
The tweet.
Oh.
That the Panthers sent out.
I have that. Hold on, let me get it. After a game where it looked like there might have been 200 people.
Oh, if.
The Florida Panthers sent out a tweet. Loyalty is best earned on the back of virtue, honor, and integrity. Together we climb. Thanks to all who came. Hashtag Flaw Panthers.
The announced attendance for that was like 7,300. Did they do the...
That was not 7,300.
Well, obviously not. But do they do the old National League thing where it's tickets sold, not actual people in the seats? Is that how...
This is... The thing is, they said before the season, the Panthers owners, legitimate businessman Vinny Viola.
The wrench.
Yeah.
He said that they were going to announce the attendance was going to be people at the game. It was no longer going to be... Well... But now I guess it's kind of changed their stance to tickets sold. And because before, in the last 2 years, the Panthers had been giving away a lot of free tickets.
Right.
And so what their idea is they're trying to put – because they were giving away the tickets for free. So the tickets – the regular tickets had little to no value themselves. So they're trying to – they're not giving away any more tickets to actually have the ticket itself have some sort of value that people have to pay for. But the problem when they do that,
I'm sure they knew this going in.
Well, I know it's, but I'm sure they knew this going in. It's going to be a rough year where there's going to be a lot of crowds like that because they're not just letting people in for free just to make it look like people show up. They're trying to see, they're trying to gauge exactly what the value of the Panthers is.
Well, I think we got a pretty good idea.
Yeah, well, and it's they for a team to not sell out its home opener.
Yeah,
it was bad enough to only get like 7,000 people for a home opener. But on a and I understand it's a Monday night. It's against Ottawa. It's not one of those teams, those Canadian teams that fills up the rink like Toronto and Montreal does. But
because all the fans in Ottawa who will travel for hockey games are Leafs fans,
right? Yeah, there's a lot of issues to it, but
it's
awful. It's the thing that's worse is like we've seen all this with the Coyotes for a long time, but at least the Coyotes fans were kind of vocal and like made noise about it. Panthers fans they're few and far between as it is, but even the ones that are there, they're not like fighting for the team or anything.
On top of all of this, the poor attendance, the tarps, I have heard that Vinny Viola has sort of let the arena go into disarray. Like, apparently, it is not in the best of shape.
Right, because this is all a ploy to get more money out of the county because they're trying to say, hey, we don't get enough support. We need more money to make the team better and the arena better. And the fact that the county just bought them a sparkly new scoreboard that no one can see because no one's there.
Well, the best part about one of those pictures, though, was like they showed the shot of the arena. There's like maybe 200 people in the stands. And the giant Jumbotron has the word
make
noise.
Some noise.
Make some noise.
It's like, yeah, they're trying their best, Florida. They're making as much noise as 200 people can make.
Yeah, I mean, that was, like I said, it was so bad. I couldn't even think of a joke to make about it. It was just, like, I feel bad for the players, especially the Florida players. I mean, my God.
I got to imagine that in
the majority, half the Florida roster is there just to collect a paycheck. I don't feel too bad for them.
That's true. I mean, it's not like they're making $4.50 an hour to do this, but still.
I have to imagine that if you were a fan and you went to that game, like, depending on where you were, there's a good chance that between getting up from your chair to get a snack and coming back, you didn't run into a single person besides the vendor at the snack.
Oh, yeah.
The thing that's worse, it's almost better to play in a completely empty arena rather than one that's kind of semi-filled. Like, the energy is awful.
Oh.
And the worst I've ever seen the Ducks is I went to a game where 11,000 people showed up.
That's
in a 17,000 seat arena.
That's still not bad. Yeah.
It's not bad, but you can just tell that when there's lesser amount of people there, it's like even the amount of energy that many people can provide, it's not even close.
I'm going to take a shot in the dark and say that was a game against Nashville.
No, it was against Phoenix.
Of course, that was
my second choice.
Yeah, it was a Coyote game. There's a website called WeJustScored.com.
Okay.
And what they did is they compiled all the goal horns in the current NHL with their goal songs and sound effects that go with it.
Awesome.
Along with the Hartford Whalers and Brass Bonanza.
Beautiful.
Oh, God.
The Brass Bonanza just screams hockey to me.
Here we go.
Yeah, Paul. Is this the Brass Bonanza? No, let's... Yep.
That...
Yeah, it doesn't just stop. You gotta...
I am bookmarking this minute.
You can experience all the good ones. You can experience the bad ones. And I'm not going to name names, Los Angeles and Edmonton. And you can experience Brass Bonanza.
You've got the Sharks. The Sharks have the worst. I hate that song.
The horn with the Sharks is okay. It's the damn keyboard.
But how many of these teams have a cannon that goes off after a goal? Come on.
The Beach do have that.
And that's awesome. It's cool.
And, of course, if you click on, like, the Coyotes, you can get the Howl. If you click on the Panthers, you can get the cat.
The cat meow? Sound.
Yeah. But well, that's also a cool Montreal. Site. By the way, Montreal, for being a legendary franchise, weak goal horn. Very weak.
I am digging the site. I'm gonna use the shit out of this.
Oh yeah. When you're watching Blue Jackets games, just keep this handy and then you just shoot off the cannon.
I mean, there's one more thing though I want to talk about in terms of hockey before we get off the NHL for good.
Okay.
Can we talk about...
Like the toys later, Greg.
Can we talk about how historically bad the Edmonton Oilers are shaping up to be just a week into the season?
Yeah. In the very first game, game one of the entire season, you already had somebody throw their sweater on or their hoodie on the ice.
And it has a guy inside.
That was the Edmonton goal horn, just to kind of... Okay, go ahead.
Hearing the goal horn plenty of times, but... Oh, damn it.
He unplugged himself. He does that sometimes. There he is. Okay.
They're hearing the goal horn plenty of times in Edmonton. They just have no defense.
Who was that? I had one of their young players last year on my fantasy team. I can't remember.
Taylor Hall.
Yeah. How's he doing?
Taylor Hall. Yeah.
He's fine. You know what?
Holy hell. Yeah, go ahead.
The Oilers... They're too far down the rabbit hole at this point.
Meaning,
and yes, they have all these young guys, and they're going to be, they can score, but they have the stink of losing all over them.
So
what they need to do is pick, because they have several of these young players, right? They need to pick two of them to keep and trade the other guys to get some more pieces to build the rest of the team.
Because they
spent all those years drafting those high forwards, and that's great. And you bought a couple of decent free agent goaltenders in Victor Frost and Ben Scrivens. Good job. You have no depth at the forwards, and you have nothing when it comes to defensemen.
So you're saying basically then that this is a rebuilding project, that this needs to be blown up and started over.
Well, they've been rebuilding.
I understand that, but that's what
Since
I'm saying.
The they Ryan need to rebuild Smith the rebuild. Years.
They need to rebuild the rebuild is what I'm saying. They need to choose a couple, and it's, if I were to pick, as much as I like Taylor Hall, I think he's pretty one-dimensional. Do I like Taylor Hall or Jordan Eberle more? I don't know. I'd keep Nugent Hopkins.
I have Eberle on my team this year.
And then I guess I'd keep Taylor Hall because he's the longest serving of the rest of them. And then you trade the other guys for other draft picks or – other young parts to fix the rest of it, because they don't have a direction. Like, their direction is we're going to get better, okay. And the other problem with Edmonton is they're never going to win any free agency battles.
No,
because they're Edmonton, and now it's funny because when the salary cap came in, it was supposed to this is going to help the small market teams because they can offer the same as anybody else. The problem is when you can offer the same as anybody else, and you so say Edmonton is giving you the same salary that Los Angeles,
right,
Anaheim, Boston, Detroit, Chicago.
The all things being equal, who are you going to pick?
Right.
You're not going to pick Edmonton. I mean, unless you grew up as a Gretzky and Yari Curry fan or something and just have this weird, bizarre fascination with playing at home. But short of that, I just don't see it.
The interesting fact, the Edmonton Oilers are on pace to allow 429 goals this season.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
So oh, we thought Buffalo was bad last year.
Oilers on your fantasy team? Expect them for points. Their plus minus is going to kill you. And speaking of Buffalo, Mike, oh, God. They're bad. They're so bad.
I caught some of that game against Anaheim, actually. So
the Ducks outshot the Oilers 46-12.
12?
On the same day, Steven Stamkos had more shots than the Buffalo Sabres did as a team. As a team.
Well, you know, I could make the argument, hey, it's only, what, four games into the season? So
yes, but see, only a few games into the season, yeah, so maybe overreact a little bit. But there are certain things that you can glean from a few games, and what you can glean is the Oilers are going to be worse than they were last year.
Wow.
Another thing,
which is something that we didn't think – everyone thought they're going to be a little bit better, taking small steps all the time.
Another thing we can glean, the Buffalo Sabres continue to be bad at hockey.
Well, they're being bad on purpose.
Yeah, they want Connor McDavid. So.
Despite the players saying no, we don't care about that. We're going to try our best. And Ted Nolan trying to light a fire under his team by calling out guys that played bad or suck. And you know, I don't expect anyone to buy tickets for this team and things of that nature. Their goalies are terrible. Their defense is bad. They've got a couple young forwards that you can latch onto, but they're hoping so hard that they're last in the league again, so that they have the best shot, not necessarily the shot, but the best shot to win Connor McDavid, who is supposed to be the next big thing.
Well, it's really a shame too, because Edmonton and Buffalo have awesome uniforms. It's just a drag that they're not any good.
The only thing that would kill me with Buffalo, because this is their plan, they wanted to be bad, and so they're doing it. If they somehow get to the end of the year and they don't win the number one pick in the draft, it's just like, I mean, I think the way it goes now, like they're going to use the lottery to pick the top three picks.
Yeah.
And
so they could do all of this and still end up only picking third.
Or fourth.
Oh, boy.
And you know what's worse is a lot of people are expecting the Flyers to be pretty bad, and I don't think they've won a game yet.
No.
Well,
we were talking to them like they were a playoff team sort of maybe last week.
I called them out as the crapshoot that they are. So.
Yeah, their goaltending's not great, and their defense is pretty bad.
Yeah, of course their goaltending isn't great. What did I say last week? You can't rely – relying on Steve Mason to carry your team is a risky proposition.
I'll say.
Live by the Mason, die by the Mason.
People are already planning out conspiracy theories for this new draft lottery. Because who owns the Flyers?
Comcast.
Ed Snyder, who owns Comcast, who owns NBC, who is the major United States television provider of the National Hockey League. So do you think it would be in the NHL's interest to give Connor McDavid to Buffalo? Who, yes, they give very good TV ratings because they have nothing else to do in Buffalo, so they watch the Sabres. Or to the man that's filling your pockets.
Well, yeah. I mean,
so
I think,
it becomes a thing where do you do it on purpose?
The NBA's been doing it for years, so why not?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I don't think for a second that the Cleveland Cavaliers legitimately won the chance to pick LeBron James that year. No more than the Knicks did back when they got Patrick Ewing.
Or giving the Hornets the number one pick the year after Pau Gasol didn't get traded there for basketball reasons.
Anyway.
I'm still bitter about that, David Stern. I hate you.
Yeah, because that was the Chris Paul thing, right?
Yeah, the Lakers were going to get Chris Paul and everything was going to be fine.
Speaking of the NBA, when does it start? I'm actually interested this year because LeBron's back. Okay.
End of the month. I think it's like the 28th.
I'll watch a couple of games just to see it happen. And
I'll watch LeBron.
Are you going to witness greatness, Greg?
I guess. Is that what they call it?
Did you record any of our long discussion about goal horns?
No.
Aww. Oh,
well. I'm sorry.
We'll keep that one between us, I guess.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, Zach Tabs.
Zach Tabs!
Ah, shit, I blew it. Never mind, go ahead, Zach.
You missed the timing. You missed
it. I did, I wasn't... Here we go. Okay. There we go. All right, go ahead.
All right, well, one of my first tabs was the goal horn thing, which we spent about, I don't know, 20 minutes going over.
Oh, yeah, and I'm going to play with this all night when we're done.
Monday Night Football, wholly uninteresting, as usual, but...
Way to go, ESPN. Nice job negotiating that contract.
Something fun. Austin Pettis, he's an Orange County native, and he has the Mighty Ducks logo tattooed on the back of his neck.
Cool.
So...
Who is he?
Austin Pettis?
Yeah.
He's a receiver for the Rams.
Okay.
He played at Boise State.
Oh, look at that. He does.
He's a Ram. I mean, he's a Ram. God, I don't know who any of the Rams are.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Nice. That's a big one, too. He's not messing around.
That is a nice-looking uniform.
It's okay. I don't just say that. I told Zach this on the football show last night. It isn't because of my beloved blue and whites. I've just never been a big fan of this look of theirs. I mean, I like their current look better as long as they leave the blue pants out of the equation. But it's good, yep. Though. I don't mind it. It's not bad or anything. It's just I'm not as big a fan of it, Mike, as a lot of others are.
Mm. It just would so happen in the year that you decide to boycott the National Football League.
Yes.
Your San Diego Superchargers are the best record in the AFC.
Yeah.
Yeah, figures. You know, maybe if I stay away long enough, they'll win a Super Bowl.
If the Chargers got to a Super Bowl, would you end up watching again?
Like if they were playing in the game,
yeah.
Would I?
You got to, man.
That'd be rough.
Yeah. You can put your morals aside for a football game. That's what the rest of the NFL does, right?
I mean, we do it every week. You can do it for 1 week in the year. Yeah. Come on.
I will break my boycott of the NFL for one game if the San Diego Chargers make it to the Super Bowl.
And if you do this boycott thing and they make the Super Bowl, I'm not watching the Browns or the Packers next year. That's it. I'm boycotting too.
Okay. So the website collegehumor.com.
Right.
They put out an interesting little graphic because it's the baseball playoffs, so they're trying to capitalize on getting some hits on their website. You know, like when it comes to the baseball analogies, when it comes to hooking up with someone for a second, third home.
Yes! Right.
Well, they decided to expand that.
Oh, God.
And so there's a list of all these different baseball...
euphemisms.
Yeah.
Say it, Mike. Help me out here.
Like bulk or caught in a rundown. Beats on an error. Infield single, stand-up triple, robbed of a home run, struck out looking, struck out swinging.
Nice.
A perfect game, by the way, despite that being the best thing you could possibly think of, is actually the worst because no one reached base ever. No one scored.
Oh, this is awesome. Let's go through a few of these.
Okay.
Caught in a rundown between first and second when you're struggling to get her bra off. It's incredibly embarrassing. Yeah, that's good.
Yep, that's what happens when you get caught in a pickle.
Infield signal sinks. Oh, God, I can't talk tonight.
Single.
When you technically reach first base, but it's via a weak cheek peck. I like
reached on an error when a partner wasn't planning on kissing you but had a temporary lapse in judgment, possibly due to alcohol.
A stand-up triple when you get the third base standing up.
Yeah,
you can visualize that, friends.
Yeah, no kidding.
Fan interference when your date gets hit on by a waiter or waitress. inside the park home run. Often debatably an error when a guy technically climaxes, but his genitalia never left his pants.
Oh, you know this one!
A grand slam is regular good sex, but then you get a seamless... Then you seamless a pizza from bed afterwards? I don't understand that.
Yeah, what's seamless? Anyway, what's that all about?
I don't know. It wasn't written correctly, but...
Oh, walk-off home run, a one-night stand. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Anyway...
Oh.
That's that. We'll move on to the okay, well actually we'll go to Canada real quick. Mike, have you seen the new mascots for the Ottawa Senators?
Oh God.
The lion? Or are you talking about the prime ministers?
Well, yeah, they took a page out of the Washington Nationals book and they present you the prime ministers.
This is the greatest. I love this.
Yeah, they,
Greg, do you know who any of these people are?
Can I take a guess and say one of them is Trudeau, maybe?
No.
Nope, okay. No, I don't.
So we've got John A. McDonald, Wilfrid Laurier.
Look at Mike go.
Robert Borden and hometown hero. No. Oh. And hometown hero of Kitchener, Ontario, William Lyon Mackenzie King.
Who looks a little bit like Teddy Roosevelt in this particular rendition?
No. King is the one closest to the lion.
Oh, okay.
The guy who looks like Teddy Roosevelt with the mustache, that's Robert Borden.
Oh, okay.
Which is interesting because Borden and Roosevelt were in office around the same time.
Huh.
So in both Canada and the United States, you had these tough-looking guys with mustaches.
Did they both ride moose? Because I know Teddy did.
He rode a moose?
Well, you know...
Yeah. Well, you never seen Roosevelt riding a moose?
Wow.
Yeah, Roosevelt rode a moose. Well, you know...
That was one tough dude, man.
Here's the thing. Robert Borden, he was a pretty big guy, so I'm sure he got into his fair share of tumbles. And
is he big as in, like, strong or big as in
strong.
Howard Taft?
No, strong, big.
So he didn't get stuck in a bathtub. Right?
No, he did not get stuck in a bathtub. But Robert Borden also was from Nova Scotia, so there's a good chance he probably did ride a moose at some point.
I just think that you got to be one bad dude to ride a moose.
If you're going to be the Prime Minister of Canada, you got to be able to ride a moose.
No, in fact, before you can even announce your nomination, you've got to ride a moose.
That's how they do the coronation or inauguration.
The Prime Minister-elect rides to the podium on a moose.
Everything I've ever heard about a moose is it's an animal with a foul temperament. They're not pleasant creatures. So I'm thinking if you're riding a moose, you're a bad dude. It's just simple as that.
Well, stay on the hockey mascot trip.
Oh, okay.
I loved your initial response, Zach, when you're like, Ottawa Senators, tell me who these people are.
I'm impressed as hell that you knew who they were, Mike. That's good.
Oh, excuse me. I understand
Canadians would know, but I mean... Even a Canadian can point to you and say, that's Abraham Lincoln. No, that's Teddy Roosevelt.
Well, the thing about this is, like, all these guys are on our money, so...
No. Ah, okay.
I don't know, the only Prime Minister of Canada I've ever heard of was Stephen Harper, because that's the guy that's in there right now.
The current guy.
Was it Pierre Trudeau, Mike? Was that his name?
Yeah, Pierre Elliott Trudeau.
He was the only reason I know him is because he's related to Gary Trudeau, who does my favorite comic, Doonesbury. That's the only way, not close relatives, but I think they're related somehow.
And Pierre Elliott Trudeau's son, Justin Trudeau, is the current leader of the opposition and in all likelihood will probably be elected prime minister in the next election.
Hey, there you go.
How about that? Speaking of, we'll stay with hockey mascots. Have you guys seen or heard the story behind the new mascot of the Adirondack Flames, Scorch?
Oh, where it murders a firefighter?
Yes. Scorch is the last remaining ember from the great fire that destroyed most of Glen Falls back in 1864. But the video that they have him defeating a firefighter.
Oh. Oh.
And coming to help promote hockey. In Glen Falls.
There's a picture of him here with the fallen firefighter. And he's standing there with his goofy eyes. Oh, this is troubling.
Scorch represents the lasting flame from the Glen Falls Great Fire of 1864, which destroyed 112 buildings and homes.
Oh, Scorch. Don't you wonder, though?
So the Flames immediately released a statement saying that, you know, this is something that looks really good on the drawing board, but once we put it into practice, we realize what a bad idea it actually was.
I don't think it looks good on the drawing board.
Yeah,
either.
I was just going to ask.
You don't like the look of a puck on fire?
The thing that really makes it a bad idea is the fact that they gave this thing this like really creepy grin that when paired with the fact that he just murdered a firefighter makes it look like he's taking joyful glee in murdering someone who came to protect people
because
his fiery rampage.
There's nothing cartoony or nothing whimsical about this at all. It looks like the dude whacked a firefighter. Simple as that.
Yeah.
How does this stuff get past? I got to think there are people you've got to get this past before.
Well, this is the Flames organization, so Brian Burke was probably involved at some point.
Well, I mean, when I think of truculence, I think of a tiny puck on fire.
Look, all I'm saying is I'm going to repeat my plan. In the next NHL EA video game, the general manager mode needs to have an optional Brian Burke mode.
Oh, yeah.
Whereby all of the stats are replaced by, like, Brian Burke stats, like dream rating, truculence. I mean, that would just be awesome.
So speaking of the Adirondack Flames and truculence, mm-hmm. did you see what Trevor Gillies did this last week?
No.
Well, he's been suspended 12 games in the AHL.
Okay.
For this little incident where he went to go – they were playing against the Rochester Americans, I believe. And somebody went to go – there was a big brawl, and this guy didn't really want to fight Trevor Gillies. So Trevor Gillies decided to pick him up and slam him on the ice when he was face first on the ground.
Oh, here we go. I'm watching the video. Oh, it's not pretty already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some fighting going on, a little push and shove. And then Trevor Gillies comes in.
Oh!
That's
yeah.
That's some Brian Burke hockey right there.
Truculence and belligerence, my friends.
Wow. Yeah, that's a douche move, dude.
Truculence, belligerence, and testosterone.
Yeah, no, that's Brian Burke hockey. By the way, I want to applaud the Flames for keeping that proud Calgary Flames tradition of replicating the national and subnational flag alternate logo.
I want to commend them for signing a guy named Yonkman.
Well, it's Nolan Yonkman, and he was an Anaheim Duck last year. I'll have you know.
Okay.
Scored 2 goals in his first 2 games.
Hey, nice. I guess it didn't go much from there, huh?
Yeah, no, that was it.
Amherst got a new look since the last time I saw them. They're a little bit better.
Yeah, they look mostly the same though.
Yeah, this is just wrong, man. They're going to show it again here.
Speaking of hockey names and jerseys, I showed this to Greg yesterday, but Mike, you need to see this as well.
Oh, God.
Tell me what's going on in that picture.
Okay, let's see.
Explain it to the fine people at home.
Okay, so what we've got here is a fan at a Cincinnati Bengals game. Now, right now, some people might be confused, saying, I thought this was hockey. Why are you talking about a football team, Mike? Because this fan has a 1990s, early 2000s Bengals replica jersey customized to say Gretzky 99.
Wow. I don't even – like, okay, I would understand point, like if you had like an Edmonton Eskimos jersey with Gretzky's name.
No, not even then. I'm sorry.
I know, but it's like, okay, you got Edmonton. There is no connection, not a single one between Wayne Gretzky and the Cincinnati Bengals.
Why? Okay, I'm just going to throw out a theory here.
Sure.
Maybe his name is actually Gretzky, the guy that's wearing the jersey, which, of course, breaks another jersey rule that you don't want to get into, but...
Yes.
Why would you waste the money to get a jersey customized and then do that? I'd get it if he was wearing an Oilers jersey, Kings, even a Blues jersey, Rangers, but a Bengals jersey? Makes no sense whatsoever.
Mm. You know what? I'd rock a Blues Gretzky jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Contrary to popular belief, I actually like those Blues jerseys with the red on them.
Mm.
Oh, the ones that Gretzky wore?
Too.
Yeah, they weren't bad. No.
With the giant diagonal stripes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they weren't bad.
No, speaking of jerseys, though, and kind of speaking of Gretzky, here is something recently posted on the Kramer boards. We've got a 1997 Los Angeles Kings prototype jersey.
Oh, let's take a look at this.
Oh, yeah, I've seen this.
I do like the color scheme a lot. I can't say I'm crazy about the word mark, what they were going to go for there.
The font is bad.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
I'll tell you what that font needs. It needs to be italicized, and it needs motion lines.
Don't you think, though, that like an updated crown, like the old, way back in the old days, Kings with the crown on an updated crown would look pretty good on that, I would think, in that color scheme.
A lot of people say that they need to use the crown from their logo. No, I don't like the current spiky crown that they use.
No, I'm talking the old one, the old looking one. Yeah,
I think we just point to that because it says this is something that I mean. You have a decent logo or a half decent logo. You have a crown in your uniform set. You just choose not to use it because you like awful giant letters and pencils.
See, I get the point that it's trying to evoke the Gretzky era logo, but
and not even just the Gretzky logo, but like the original King's shield that they went from.
Yeah,
from the crown logo.
But here's the thing: the Gretzky era logo had a certain, I don't know,
je ne sais quoi.
That the current one just doesn't have. I don't
you mean the fact that it looked like a giant Chevy logo.
See, I always got more of a Bud Light vibe from it.
I was reminding me of something too, but I can't place it now. Let me take a look at it here.
But I don't know. Fact is, I'm a sucker for late 80s, early 90s graphic design. So everything about that LA Kings logo, the italicized motion streaked font, like that just, it works for me. Like, I can't explain it. I understand objectively that it's like not ideal and it's actually pretty bad. But I like it.
See, I will say this. Yeah, it's certainly got a few problems, but it's way better than what they have now, I think, the old one.
Mm-hmm. Well, because what they have now sucks.
Yeah, it really does. It's horrible at a million different levels. I mean,
if they took the piping away, and they took the crown out of the stupid home plate pencil logo,
right?
It'd be half decent.
The problem is that they've won 2 Stanley Cups in 3 years.
Exactly. And
it's not going anywhere.
They're not even going to make the hem stripes match from jersey to jersey. They're just going to leave them the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
And the other interesting thing is we'll see it later in the year, but the Kings are still doing throwback nights occasionally when they have when they honor a legend.
Mm-hmm.
But before they were wearing the purple jerseys,
mm-hmm.
this year they were going to be wearing the gold versions of those jerseys.
Uh-huh. Ooh, those are pretty loud.
Yeah.
Those are quite loud, yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how they translate to the modern day lighting and cameras and things like that.
The thing I actually like about this 1997 prototype is that for the first time, had they gone with this, it would have been a case of the Kings for the first time having a color scheme uniquely their own.
Yeah.
Their original color scheme stole from the Lakers. Black and silver stole from the Raiders.
Yep.
And then the black, purple, and silver they eventually went with stole from the Sacramento Kings.
And the Rockies, and just because purple was hot, yeah.
Yeah. So this, it's still got purple in it, but it's purple, it's silver, and it's white. No one else uses just that color scheme.
This prototype, is that silver? Because it looks more like a kind of a gold color to me.
It looks silver on my monitor.
Yeah, it's silver.
Okay, because I mean, I thought it had a champagne gold kind of thing going on there. But either way,
that's just the lighting.
Okay, but this, I think that had they taken this color scheme with a better logo, this would have really worked. I think.
I think they could have done something with that little crown they have on the shoulders and dotting the eye, mm-hmm. but just having Kings like that isn't great.
No.
But, hey, now that you mentioned the kind of champagne gold, that's what I was going to say. It kind of reminds me of the University of Washington.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yep. It's a good color scheme. It's a good look. Other than the Kings word mark on the front, I think it would have really worked. Even with the Gretzky era logo, it would have looked pretty good with that.
I don't know why the Kings are so in love with making a word mark as their logo. Because have you seen the original Kings prototype? Like the original.
Oh, yeah. It was in a crown.
Right. Well, it's still Los Angeles Kings across the front. It's still purple and gold, but instead of having the crown, it's a big K and a big S, and the ING is a little bit lower. And above it, it's Los Angeles in the little space between the top of the K and the top of the S.
My only theory on that is that they were originally owned by the same guy who owned the Lakers.
Yeah.
So the Lakers obviously had, their logo is basically just their word mark in front of a basketball. So maybe they thought, well, we'll just do the same thing with the Kings and have the logo just be a word mark. And then after the ownership diverged, they just – that sort of trend just stuck around.
In hockey, word marks have to go diagonally to work.
And really, you can only really pull it off if you're the Rangers. I mean, I understand that other teams do it. I think I'm the only one who actually likes that black and gold Pittsburgh.
Oh,
Penguins.
No, you're not the only one. I like that a lot, too.
I like that, too.
Yep.
That's
like
Penguins Colorado's across front.
Thirds, Avalanche's original thirds, the Berkeley ones.
Oh, yeah, those are great, too. But I'm just saying that any time any other team does it, even if it's a good-looking jersey, someone always says, oh, it's Ranger. They've ripped off the Rangers, or they will describe it as Ranger style.
Well,
I think
when I came to you to do my logo for my fantasy team, I said I wanted it to look like a Rangers jersey. You know,
I gave you home and away jerseys that just had the logo on front, and you're like, can I get a home and away alternate that have the Rangers style?
Yeah, I didn't even describe it like diagonal. I just said, give me a Rangers jersey like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, the kings, I mean, really, you've got basically two options if you're going to represent a king. It either has to be a crown or the word. There's not a whole lot else to use if you think about it.
They tried
sliding the lion in there for a minute. But
that was actually my favorite Kings logo was the coat of arms deal that they did.
The Jack Nicholson lion.
It was like a coat of arms divided into the Jack Nicholson lion, the crown, and like a sun.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty clever.
Yeah.
But
they could have done a little bit more with that, but they didn't. So the part of the thing is like that. I would have been fine if the Kings had stunned with that stuck. I can't talk now. If the Kings had stuck with that branding for a while, because then you would have had – because at the same time, the Ducks transitioned into wearing black. So at least you would have had black and a bright color versus black and another bright color.
Things got really muddy there in Southern California hockey because like the Kings went to – black, purple, and silver. And then the Ducks introduced a black eggplant and silver alternate.
Right, which is it's a nice jersey. I like it. I own one, but...
But when your crosstown rivals wear black and purple, you know...
I can't, like... I can wear that jersey to, like, a Ducks game. Mm. I cannot wear that jersey to a Ducks-Kings game. Mm-hmm. Because, like, from behind, if you're, like, just kind of looking quickly, you're like, ah, oh, black and purple.
Yeah, it's.
Then you think about it for a second. It's like, oh no, wait, that's us.
The Ducks went to black and gold, and I kind of like it because it's kind of this like in baseball, LA's got red versus blue, and in hockey, you kind of got black and silver versus black and gold. But
right, it worked. It worked a little bit, but I'm so happy with the Ducks' new road uniforms because when the Ducks would play in LA, the old road uniforms, you could barely tell any of the colors on them. Mm. So it looked like black and white versus white and black, and it just didn't work.
I'm just going to post this again because we're talking about the Kings, and I just think it's an absurd picture.
What is it? Oh, yeah.
Oh, the
Gretzky and the Burger King.
That they made the greatest player in the history of the sport wear that. Goddamn.
If you look on YouTube, there's like I think it's almost a full 20 minutes of broadcast because between the first time the Ducks and Kings both wore the Wild Wing and the Burger King jerseys, they played against each other in the Forum on national Fox TV. So you had the Wild Wing jersey going up against the Burger King jersey with the cartoon robots coming out of the little scoreboard whenever someone scored.
It's pure 90s hockey.
It was the most 90s clip of hockey I have ever seen in my entire life.
Not a high point for the NHL.
No. At least there's no glow puck in this game. You can take solace.
Oh, see, the glow puck is all it needs.
Yeah, the glow puck would have sent it over the top for as far as 90-ness.
I never understood the glow puck because even when – I mean, I never found the puck that hard to follow on television.
Before that was always the argument was that some people couldn't.
Oh, bullshit.
I think that was the excuse they threw out. Honestly, I think the only reason they did it was the 90s and it was extreme. Like, wouldn't it
extreme.
Be – Like, wouldn't it be extreme if the puck glowed red? Like, I think that was the extent of the thought process.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they did it because they could. I don't think their argument for it was really legit because, like I said, I mean, even back before HD, I could follow the puck on TV, no problem. But anyway, what's next?
We'll move on. Guys, who is America's team in football? When someone says America's team, you think of?
The Denver Broncos.
Dallas Cowboys.
Ah, but Greg is correct.
I heard this too. Go ahead.
The new America's team, according to a Harris poll, was surveyed 2,543 adults, about 1,275 of whom said they were following professional football. The Denver Broncos are the new America's team, as terms of favorite team across the country.
So this is the thing. How much of this has to do with the fact that Peyton Manning is on pretty much every other commercial you see on television?
Oh, it has everything to do with that.
And the second thing is, and this is what I heard on the Dan Patrick show, do you ever, before they had this poll, did you ever get the feeling that the Broncos were the most popular team in America? I never did.
No, but Peyton Manning's the most popular player or most visible player.
Sure, yeah. I'll give the guy credit. He's great in commercials. I mean, I know that they get old because there's so many of them, but he does a good job.
Yeah. No, I mean now he gets the uses vocal chops in that Nationwide commercial. That
the best thing I've ever seen Peyton Manning in was that Saturday Night Live skit where he was playing football with the kids.
The United Way thing? That was awesome. That was so
good. Don't you want to win?
And then he's like smacking kids like, go sit down. And they're crying and stuff. It was funny. It was awesome.
Balls at kids' heads, yeah.
Who came in second? Do they have a list?
Yes. Number two is the New York Football Giants.
Oh, okay. I don't believe that either.
Number three is your Green Bay Packers, Greg.
Okay, I got it. Okay, so one is the Broncos, two is the Giants. Are we sure it's not just Archie Manning?
Yeah, the Mannings filled out the poll 2,000 times. And number four is the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Number five, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, I think that overall, in the grand scheme of things, the two teams that are always going to kind of be America's teams or America's team are the Cowboys and the Steelers.
And the Packers. I think
to a lesser
Packers
extent, yeah, but the Packers.
There are Packer fans all over the country.
Right. Where did my Cleveland Browns rank on this, or did they even show up?
Well, they only list the top 10.
Okay, so they didn't make it.
There are no Cleveland Browns. Number six, which is interesting, and it's probably just the bandwagon effect, but it is the Seattle Seahawks at number six.
Oh, that's definitely bandwagon effect.
Number seven is the 49ers, which again makes sense. Because, I mean, six Super Bowls.
Right.
Isn't there only five?
They've been to six, won five.
Oh, okay.
I thought they – yeah, that's right.
Right.
Well, that's right, because Colin Kaepernick became the first 49ers QB to make a Super Bowl and lose.
Yeah, but you know what? I'd still rather have him than Andrew Luck. I'm sorry. I would. I'm being facetious. I think
right. I was going to say – got those backwards. I thought they would be a little bit higher at this point, but they've hit the dry spell. They're no longer the dynasty. The New England Patriots at number eight.
Yeah.
Chicago Bears 9 and New Orleans Saints 10.
All the Patriots need to do is win another Super Bowl, and every obnoxious Boston fan will come out of the woodwork and back up there.
If it was my list, I would say probably Cowboys Steelers tied at one. Packers would be two. I'd probably put the Bears in the top five somewhere.
Yeah, because this is mostly just because of recent trends. Like,
right.
In terms of overall, like the Broncos, yeah, you have the John Elway years, and that I know a lot of people I grew up with, because again, I live in an area where there's no professional football team,
right?
Until the Rams come back and gloriously suck for a few years.
Yeah, but they'll look good because they'll be back in their blue and whites where they belong.
Oh, stop.
I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Okay.
And so, like, I have a few friends that are Broncos fans for no other reason than when we were growing up, in, like, our formative years, John Elway won a couple Super Bowls.
Yeah.
But, you know, Packer fans, the ones that I would have put up there, Steelers fans are everywhere.
Yeah.
Cowboys fans are everywhere. Packer fans are everywhere. And then 49ers, they travel pretty well, surprisingly.
Yeah.
Giants, maybe because people move out of New York. But in terms of teams that are consistently in the running as an America's team, it's definitely the Steelers, Cowboys, and Packers for me.
Right.
Everybody, all this other stuff just kind of fluctuates based on who's hot at the time.
Right.
But in terms of teams that will always and forever be. You can go anywhere in this country to any city in America, and you will find a Packer fan, a Cowboy fan, and a Steeler fan.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Yeah.
At every sports bar you go to, I will guarantee there is at the very least two of the three at any sports bar in the country on a Sunday.
And around here, you're going to get all three every single time. Single time without fail.
The other interesting note in the article I was reading, it said that the Broncos have the second longest home sellout streak in the country.
In football or overall?
In football. In
Behind
football.
Who?
Behind Washington.
Washington's always had that.
Really?
Yeah, for a long, long time.
Really? Like, I would think that, I mean, people always talk about the wait list for the Packers.
Yeah.
That I don't see how Lambeau could have ever not sold out. But I think I already closed the window, but I believe it said that the Broncos have sold out every home game since 1970.
Well, I wonder when the Packers used to play a few games in Milwaukee every year, if that might have screwed up their streak somehow.
That's true.
But and there were some pretty lean years in Green Bay too, so I could see where they didn't sell
right.
out.
Yeah.
Denver's a great sports town, man. It always has been.
No, they
been.
Really are. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we talked about earlier in the show about how awful Miami is.
Yeah.
You'd put Miami along with, like, Atlanta in terms of awful, awful sports markets.
Right.
But then on the flip side, Denver is consistently one of the best.
Yeah, absolutely.
They support all their teams. Everybody, you know, there's never any team that moves there. I mean, the Avalanche, you had a little dip because they were terrible. For a few years.
The Avalanche also came in and won the cup in their first year.
They came in and won not just one but two cups in like a 5-year span. So.
Yeah, but you know what? I think
and had all those games with the Red Wings, and it was pretty easy.
Oh, that Avalanche Red Wings rivalry was something else, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was like what were we talking about earlier when I said, "Oh, the Royals Yankees." That was another one where I think those teams truly hated each other.
Patrick Waugh certainly did not like Chris Osgood.
Well, that's okay because Detroit fans didn't like Osgood either. He wasn't alone in not liking Chris Osgood. Most of his the fans of the Red Wings didn't like him either.
But, which was weird because he kept winning cups.
Yeah, but I guess he wasn't flamboyant enough or something. I don't know.
He's the Tim Duncan of goalies, honestly. You know, he's got really good fundamentals, and he was always consistently good, but he never put up like the game changer numbers.
Because Mike Vernon was their goalie for a while. Did they ever win a cup with him?
Yeah, Vernon won in 97.
Okay.
Yeah. Against the Flyers.
Yep.
And then Osgood won in 98.
Which one? No. Are you sure it was Osgood? Didn't Vernon beat the Caps?
No. I'm pretty sure Vernon beat the Flyers.
I don't remember who it was. I remember him being there, but... and then they had Hasek for a while, but that was much later, right?
Yeah, Hasek was 2002.
Yeah, but anyway,
Mike Vernon. He won the cup in '89 with the Flames and '97 with the Red Wings.
I remember about Mike Vernon. I don't know why this sticks with me. I don't remember if it was a playoff game or just a regular season game or what. But I remember there was about 8 seconds left, and there was a faceoff at center ice, and Mike Vernon started skating away, and the puck came down, and it rang the post. He almost walked away and let a goal just like float right in. And that just sticks with me for some reason. I don't know why.
There's that. And then I think Osgood was in net when the Red Wings last won it in what was it? 2000.
When did they repeat any time in the recent history? Cause I think he won two in a row, didn't he?
No, I don't think they did. I don't think they won two in a row.
They did, but it wasn't with him. Hasek was the goalie for one of them.
Okay. All right.
And I think he was...
But Osgood did get a cup, right?
Yeah.
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 Or two, or whatever.
He's got a couple.
Osgood, I think... I'm trying to figure it out here. How many did
he win? I'm pretty sure Osgood was their goalie in 98 when they beat the Caps.
I don't remember. That's a long time ago.
Trying to figure it out.
God, how long ago is it? That's like
16
years.
He won three cups, two of them coming when he was the starter.
Okay.
Yeah, so then that other – yeah, so I think he won – the two when he was a starter was against the Caps in 98, and then when they beat the Penguins, was it 2009 they beat the Penguins?
Sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the one when as a backup was – I think he was Hasek's backup when they won it in 2004.
Right, because – hold on. That season he I'm finding it hard to like figure this out.
What are you
this
trying
Wikipedia
to find out?
This Wikipedia article is not laid out very nicely.
Are you just looking at Mike Vernon, or who are you looking for here?
Okay, Osgood was Vernon's backup in '97, and then after they won the cup, Vernon was traded to the Sharks. So then Osgood won in '98 against the Capitals, or '97 against the Capitals. '98.
Yeah, '98 was the Capitals. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because it. 98 was also the year he fought Patrick Waugh. and then in the summer of 2001, the Red Wings acquired Dominic Hasek. And so he was in the backup for Hasek.
Okay. Because
he got traded to the Islanders, and that's when he was wearing his Red Wings pads with the Islanders.
No, it wasn't just his pads. It was his Red Wings goalie pants, too.
Right, yeah. That's
which
right.
made no sense.
Right, then he went to St. Louis for a little while, and then came back to Detroit and stuck around and won a cup.
Was Mike Vernon with the Flames before he went to the Red Wings?
Yes.
Is that right? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he won the cup in '89 with
okay.
the Flames.
Okay, well, I'm going way back here.
Wow, here's a name you haven't heard in a while. Okay, so Hasek's backup when the Red Wings won in 2002. Manny Legacy.
Oh, really? Yeah, remember him? Yeah.
Manny Legacy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Yeah,
I always remember him. Legacy with the Blues.
Yeah, but he was the backup for Detroit that
Manny
year.
Manny Legacy.
Yeah.
If only he could have played for the Toronto Legacy. If only that had come to fruition.
Okay, what's next?
Well, this is something I mentioned it to you yesterday. Do you want to talk about the rugby player that might go to the NFL?
Nah, I don't.
You don't want to talk about the Parramatta Eels?
No.
No?
No.
Mike, are you interested at all?
No, not really. Although apparently – oh, another thing about that Stanley Cup final. Sorry, I just wanted to bring up Artis Erbe, best goalie
oh,
pads in hockey.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I remember him.
He wore the same pads his entire career, right?
Was he Carolina? Is that right?
Yeah, Carolina.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But he also played for a bunch of other teams. He played for the Sharks.
Didn't he play for the Caps?
The Sharks, the Stars, the Canucks, the Hurricanes, and that was it.
Other fun facts about Artur Zirbe. Drafted by the Minnesota North Stars.
It's funny, the people we get stuck on this show. Go ahead.
Didn't play for the Minnesota North Stars. Got traded.
But he ended up playing for the Dallas Stars down the road.
Did play for the Dallas Stars.
So it came
full
circle.
In June 2004, he was traded to the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Really?
But never played a game with the club due to the lockout. Erbe never played a game in the NHL after that as he continued his career in Europe.
I just remember
so the Erbe, lockout stole Artur Erbe from us.
I just remember Artur Erbe because, goddammit, he wore the same pads and mask his entire career. Yep. And by the end of it, they were just beaten all to hell.
Yeah, I'm looking at like them progressing here. They start out nice and white, and as the years go by.
Yep. When he was playing in Carolina, I mean,
there's a picture of him here in Carolina where the pads are practically – you couldn't say definitively that they were white to start with. You'd be like, I think so.
I think those pads are actually in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
This guy, we've just given him more time than I think any sports show in the history of anything ever has.
In the early 2000s, he placed an ad in the Ottawa Penny Saver seeking any local resident with the famed Jaffa goalie mask, like he lost it or something.
Ah. You would think he'd be able to – I mean, come on.
No, he probably could, but he just – he wore the same stuff everywhere he went. He probably wanted his mask. Like, I could buy a new mask, but – I want my mask.
For some reason, when you do a search for him, Tom Barrasso comes up, and I just saw there's a nice picture of those Pittsburgh jerseys we were just talking about.
Yeah.
Those things were
sweet.
Can't
wait to see the Penguins wear those things this year.
It's going to be glorious.
Here they are. Take a look at this.
So good. I love. You know what?
They really need to go back to that color scheme, man. That is so sharp.
I love the Robo Penguin.
Really?
I do. I really like that logo a lot.
He's better in this color scheme than he was in the other one. I will say that. But.
I like him. I would use him as a shoulder logo.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to go full on front logo, but I tell you, man, those jerseys, those are sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Snoop Dogg loves them.
Wow, you know, isn't it Snoop Lion now?
Yes. Okay. And he's currently having a beef with Iggy Azalea and her boyfriend, Lakers shooting guard Nick Young.
Oh.
I wouldn't be getting into any beefs with Snoop Dogg. I don't think that I don't think he thinks the law applies to him the same way it does to everybody else.
I don't know how Snoop Dogg can have a beef with everybody. He just should be chilled out all the time.
But. He's got to be stoned, I got to think, 98% of the time?
Did you see earlier in the year, because he's a huge Steelers fan, did you see after they lost to the Buccaneers his rants on Instagram?
No.
About, we need a new effing offensive coordinator. Like, he was breaking down all the reasons the Steelers were bad, and it was just so good.
Good for Snoop.
It's just Snoop Dogg just had a moment where it's like, okay, now Snoop Dogg's going to talk about hockey.
Football. Hey, he was at the Ducks Stanley Cup final against Ottawa. He bought a jersey. He was
Snoop.
Oh, yeah. Snoop was all about the Mighty Ducks, as he called us.
The year after they changed the name.
I don't want to go down.
People still call us the Mighty Ducks, and it's just like, no.
I don't want to go down another goalie rabbit hole here, but Tom Barrasso played for a lot of teams, too.
He did. He was a proud member of the Whale.
Let's see. He was with the Steelers, with the Penguins, with the Blues. I'm looking at pictures here. The Maple Leafs.
He was also with the
Sabres.
The Senators. I remember Tom Barrasso mostly because the Ottawa Senators, and I take great joy in pointing this out, are 0-4 against the Maple Leafs in playoff series. And Tom Barrasso was the goalie for the Senators, and I think in one or two of those series. I know for sure he was for one. My memory of Tom Barrasso is getting scored on by the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, there he is.
Barrasso got traded to Ottawa for Ron Tugnutt.
Oh, remember Ron Tugnutt?
Wow.
Yeah.
One of the original Mighty Ducks, Ron Tugnutt.
Okay, interesting thing about Ron Tugnutt. He had the same goalie mask style for each team that he played
on. Yes. Yeah, he did.
With the splash, with the logo on it?
Yep.
Do you know where that splash originated?
I do not.
There's a story behind it.
I do not.
It's when he first started using it when he played for the Montreal Canadiens, and the Canadiens are owned by Molson. So the splash was supposed to represent Molson here.
Okay.
And then he just kept it with each team.
Yeah.
Sure enough.
Ron Tugnutt. Wasn't he also an original Blue Jacket?
I believe he was, yes.
Yeah.
Because I remember thinking, well, you know, getting Ron Tugnutt's not so bad. But, oh, man, remember that stupid – oh, my God, their uniforms were so bad when they first started.
What,
oh.
The Blue Jackets?
Yes, the CBJ and the
– and the CJB, you mean?
Yeah, whatever it was. Yeah, and the
– and the neon.
And that bug and the whole – oh, fuck.
The bug was so stupid because it was like, guys, we've got jackets in the name.
It's color jackets.
We need
– so, therefore –
we need to reference the bug.
Guy Hebert, remember him?
Guy Hebert, the last inaugural Mighty Duck to leave the team.
Guy Hebert is my favorite Mighty Duck.
He was my favorite player as a kid.
I must have 30, talking about Barrasso and Hebert, I probably got like 50 hockey cards of both of those guys. It was like no matter what you bought, those two were always in it, every single time.
Yeah, no, whenever he would make a big save, they would put up on the board defense. Like defense.
Oh, man. There he is. There's Tugnutt with the Nordiques.
Yeah.
Those Nordiques jerseys were so badass. All right. We're really just floundering here, so let's wrap this thing up. We will see you all next time right here on Basically a Sports Show.
Woo!
Goodbye.
Please hang up and try again.